Francisco. Good morning, Santa Fe, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. This is Bill Hutchison sitting in for Mary Charlotte. We'll be together for Fridays throughout this month. We're broadcasting live, as you know, from the Santa Fe Baking Company and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are also podcasting for the technologically proficient at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and you can subscribe to the show for free on iTunes. Later on in the hour, your friend and mine, Robert Knott, will be with us, speaking of the arts. But right now, I'd like to welcome Cece Martinez and Clemente McFarlane from the Chainbreaker Collective. Good morning. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Good morning, Bill.
So the most obvious question is, what is the Chainbreaker Collective?
Okay, the Chainbreaker Collective is basically a membership-based community organization. It's a few friends that decided to start a community bike shop in 2004, basically as a fun project at the beginning, but as the philosophy, if you would, started to develop, we found that there were more issues to address than just having a place to build bikes. It started to turn into a place to get people on bikes for better transportation needs. And right now, we're moving into a little bit more responsibility in terms of addressing transportation needs in New Mexico.
Other than the obvious environmental considerations, what are the transportation needs that would require a community bike shop in our fair city?
I think better transportation as far as bus stops and when they stop, like how late they stop, where they stop. They only stop in very few places. They don't make it on time. Things like that, like people have more access to different buses.
And we're not talking about just teenagers going to the mall. This is people trying to get to and from jobs,
right,
making a living.
People who live outside of Santa Fe, I think it's becoming more and more expensive to actually come to Santa Fe to work. So as far as organizing carpools, stuff like that, we're trying to work on, as well as fixing up bikes for people.
So a lot of the work centers around the fixing up of bikes, but from what I understand, it's not just you fixing up bikes and giving them away to people. It's more than that.
Yes, it is. It's kind of interesting how it's developed. I didn't know I was going to be doing something like this. I enjoy working on bikes. I've worked in several bike shops in Santa Fe, but the mission, at least what we've started to do, how we've started to approach this project, has just started to become at a more broader scale. We do find that there are people who just can't get around anymore, and you know, maybe they sometimes choose between heating the house or feeding themselves or their families, or putting gas in the car, and sometimes they got to go with putting gas in the car because the choice may not be right, but it's what they have to do at the time. And the Chainbreaker has found that we can possibly do something to help change that, you know, by providing cheap transportation, and hopefully once people see that, they'll realize the savings that they have by having this type of transportation, and better able to serve their family and communities also. So.
How many bikes are you getting out into Santa Fe?
In the past 5 years, I think it's been like, 150 to 300 or something.
It'd definitely
like that.
More than that. I would at least say 300. It's been around for 5 years, and I remember the number in about 06, 07 time, it was approaching that 200.
And it's not just like, oh, come fix your hipster bike at Chainbreaker. It's like real family, real people getting into fixing their own bikes and using it to move to work and go home and all that kind of thing. It's not just like some young thing we created just for like young people to get around. It's for families. It's for people in the community and around Santa Fe.
How many of the folks, I know part of the goal of Chainbreaker is to get some of the bikes that are out there for folks to really commit to using that as their primary form of getting around. how many of the bikes do you think are out there? How many people have pledged this to you that they'll primarily truck around on their bicycles?
That's kind of hard to calculate, though, but a lot of people have gotten bikes and moved away. So it's kind of hard. They're coming from other communities, you know, south, north. I do see bikes on the road, though. Bikes that we helped build in the past, bikes that people have built themselves, I see them around town. So I do know that if they're at least riding it that one day out of the week, and the better the weather gets, the more they're riding it. So it's kind of hard to calculate how many people have abandoned their cars and done that, but I'm sure the number is higher than what I think right now. So
there's got to be a resistance, because America loves its cars in a big, big way. How can you encourage people to, even if, as you say, you can't get them out of the car every day, how can you encourage people to get on the bikes once in a while? We have this this idea of ultra efficiency, I think, that it can take you 5 minutes if you drive, but it's going to take you half an hour if you ride your bike. Why is that better to ride your bike in that case? And how can you show people that maybe this 25-minute savings is not all that?
I've found that if I owned the car, I would not be able to eat that well. I know that.
Yeah.
It's really expensive to buy one, maintain it, you know, insurance, stuff like things like that. And I've found that since I've had a bike, parking is not an issue. I can lock my bike up anywhere. I know that if I pay $500 for a bike, something like that, I'll end up paying that off within a year, just by the gas savings that we see, oil changes, visits to the mechanic. I do know that if I did not ride a bike, I know that it would be a little bit difficult for me to live in Santa Fe also. You know, the savings are minor, you don't necessarily see them, but you find yourself spending less throughout the year and throughout the years that go by once you buy a bike.
Also, I know I have about $300 worth of parking tickets, so I started riding my bike just to like avoid paying that.
Yeah, parking gets really expensive in
Santa
Fe.
Yeah,
it's certainly
amazing,
not getting any cheaper.
Actually. And I think once people see lots of other people riding their bikes around, and they can be like, okay, I could do this too. Maybe I can try this. You know what I'm saying? And stuff like that. The other thing I wanted to talk about is the DUI concern in New Mexico. And I think that if we did have better city transportation, that would decrease a lot. And I'm talking about, like, carpooling, and I'm talking again about buses stopping in front downtown areas frequently and later at night. And this whole thing with the railway, I mean, I've been seeing it, Rail Runner, and every time it passes me, I look in the windows and I see about 10 people in there every time. And I'm just wondering, like, was there a better way we could have used that money as far as, like, that stopping in the rail runner area and then going to, back and forth to Albuquerque. I don't know. I think there could be a better way as far as transportation goes in this city, definitely. And I think that Chainbreaker can definitely help out in that area.
I was thinking about, you know, going over some of the material about Chainbreaker beforehand, that there's got to be some difficulty, because it seems like in a metropolitan area it would be really easy for a collective like this to put something together and work. But Santa Fe is very rural. But then I start thinking, I took a trip through Scandinavia last summer, and everybody rides their bikes around there. You get on a bus or a train, and it's full of bicycles. It was very metropolitan cities I was in. But when you start getting to some of the outlying areas, A, you have trains that go out there, and people still throw their bicycle on the train, go to some outlying rural area, and tool around on their bicycle. And it definitely seems like it requires some kind of deep cultural shift, that it's not by any stretch impossible. But like you're talking with the rail runner, there it is. It's a good form of transportation, and yet people like with bicycles, are very reluctant to adopt it.
Right.
And that seems like a tremendous obstacle to overcome.
Well, also, I mean, what does it just go? It goes from Santa Fe Rail, downtown the rail yard, to Albuquerque, right?
To Belen. A little bit farther.
Okay, that's not like, and that doesn't encompass a lot of New Mexico. It's not. I feel like it's not really helping out very many people. I don't know, that's just my point of view, but it would be nice to see more outreach to the outside of Santa Fe as well.
Yeah, of course.
We definitely have, during Bike to Work Week, we set up a table there, and we do find that, some of the people that came up to our table and started talking to us said that they would like to start bike communities in their area too, but they don't necessarily have that much support. So I'm kind of, you know, I think that that they're also looking for answers also for their communities. A young lady from Española approached us and asked us, could we help out with that? And we have her information, and hopefully in the future we'll contact her and see if maybe we can go up there and see what happens, see what comes out of that. So
one of the things that I think is interesting about what you do is it's really giving people the tools to fix their own bikes and take care of it. I mean, thinking to this idea of ultra efficiency, it does seem like it would be a lot faster and you could get a lot more bikes out if you just fixed them up and gave them away. But that doesn't create that same sort of sense of value or even the relationship with the bicycle. Having that kind of interaction with the object, that you feel some affection or affinity for it, does seem like it would be pretty important.
And also the time it takes to put in, you also develop a relationship with the person, and that's what it's about, really, is community. So while it's not just about fixing a bike and be on your way, it's about getting to know the person, developing a friendship or relationship, come back, you know, that kind of thing. Not just like, okay, get in, get out.
Why is that important?
Be on your way. Why is the community
Why
important?
Is building the community an important part of
Oh,
the
because we all have to live together, and we all live together, and we should be friends.
That's a very simply said, but lovely sentiment.
Yeah,
I like
think.
That. So you guys have an event coming up.
Yes, definitely. June 13th. The next Saturday, June 13th, at our location on 1515 5th Street. We just moved. For people who have been coming by the Chainbreaker, they've seen it move to several places around town. Warehouse 21, 2nd Street, the back of somebody's house, and then lately we were on Pacheco Street at a storage unit, but now we've decided to take a big jump and move into a bigger location to really start address or helping the public at large a little bit more, and that location is on 1515 5th Street, in between J Street and Berry Avenue. If people know where, it's right off of Cerritos on 5th Street, and you're driving about more or less 100 yards on your left-hand side, you should see a big sign. And we start our event that day, June 13th, at noon, and we'll be having basically people coming and checking out the shop, an open house, and then we have other activities starting at 3 p.m. We'll do a tube repair and instant flat repair, basically, for people to learn that from 3 to 4. And from 4 to 5, we'll have a safety check before you go riding your bike. 5 to 6 will be riding in traffic, basically safety, how to turn, how to make signals, safety on the streets. And then after that, at 6 o'clock, we're going to have a creative piñata there that is, we won't tell you what it is, but it should be pretty cool. And we'll have some food there also, music. So we'd like everyone to come out, you know, and help support. We're really trying now to, it's gonna take a lot of time and energy, but we're looking for the community support to help this succeed. And I think it'll benefit Santa Fe at large and New Mexico at large in the future.
I just want to say one more thing. I think Chainbreaker would love to get to with the Transportation Committee of New Mexico or Santa Fe and work together on this, finding new ways of transportation for people So we would love to do that if they are listening.
I would love for you guys to do that. We could have you on again and talk about how that goes.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think good action comes out of strong thinking, and there seems to be a lot of strong thinking and good ideas and well-explored philosophy underpinning a lot of what you're doing. And this idea of membership as a membership organization is one of the most fascinating parts to me of what you're doing. Talk a little bit about becoming a member, what it means to be a member, and most especially I'm interested in this idea of, say, the lawyer versus the waiter and what your annual membership dues are going to be in that respect and the ideas behind that.
Okay. We're still working out the annual membership dues, but becoming a member really means having access to tools to help you navigate around Santa Fe a little bit better. In the future, we would like to get people to, once they become members, they have access to the shop on their own time. There will be classes we'll be teaching in the future. We would like to do is also try to implement a tiered program where people can start from basic mechanics and move up to a little bit more advanced mechanics, and hopefully this can help them find a job if they decide to move away from Santa Fe, or even apply at places around town here. We would like to get them a little certificate that will at least show their accomplishments, but also once they have that, it'll give them the confidence to go and get work somewhere.
Now, I understand you may be sussing this out, but the membership operates on some kind of sliding scale. Do I understand that right?
Yes, it does.
The more affluent among us may end up shelling out a little more, and those that don't have it don't need to pony up quite as much.
Yes, again, we're still trying to work out the details there, too, but what we would like to do is, based on somebody's hourly wage, if we have something at the shop that they would like to get, we would like to see if we can have people who make more an hourly wage pay more for a certain product versus somebody with a little bit less wage. And we work on, it would be a percentage-based pricing system. So I guess it's a little hard to explain right now, but I know that once we do start it, it would give everybody an equal chance to get something for their bike, no matter what their income is. It would give them an equal playing field to get something.
And we'd be working with everybody. I mean, it's not just about money either. You could also donate your time to the shop. If you know how to repair a bike, you could do a workshop, which we are planning to have ladies' night and Spanish-speaking night, those kinds of things. Also, like, I think also a main goal of Chainbreaker is to become totally sustainable, I mean, on ourselves by getting money from bigger...
basically big organizations.
Bigger organizations, grants. Yeah, to help us out. So mm-hmm. we don't have to dish out so much money, and so other people don't have to, because that's really the point, is not so you don't have to pay so much for transportation. Mm-hmm. So we just want to become, like, sustainable on our own and actually have Chainbreaker open all of the time. Even have, like, in the future, vans to pick people up and actually do carpooling routes. Like, that's really what it's about.
It's so much more than just bicycles.
Right,
we're talking
right.
about shifting the way people live and get around and move around. And I guess, as I think about it, something that has slowly sunk in as we've been talking about it is that this really isn't... It's obviously more than bicycles, and it's even more than transportation. It's about the fact that our cars have separated us from one another.
Right, right.
Our houses have separated us from one another, and this is a way for us to maybe be around each other in a certain way. Which, as I think about it, seems kind of terrifying, but that's because I'm deeply inculcated in a culture of solitude and not being around other people, who can be frightening and unpredictable, but that's really part of living in the world, I suppose, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
We do have all kinds of people showing up there. We have young kids, affluent people, people who are down and out, homeless people, so it's taught us to be a lot more humble ourselves, and... Now I find that I feel a lot more connected to Santa Fe because now I'm seeing people from all different walks of life coming in trying to get help with something. And so it's made us a lot more community-minded in these 5 years that we have been doing this project here. So, mm-hmm.
Excellent. My guests this morning have been Cece Martinez and Clemente McFarlane of the Chainbreaker Collective. Go visit them June 13th. That's a Saturday at 1515 5th Street for their fundraiser, Spring Into Action. It's a very small suggested donation with all kinds of workshops for you pedal pushers and those of you who are inclined to be. Thanks, guys, for being
on
the Radio
much.
Cafe. Stay tuned. Robert Knott is up next. You are listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. This is Bill Hutchison filling in for Mary Charlotte. With me, Robert Knott, speaking of the arts. Good morning, Robert. Well, now your microphone's on, which I can hear you now.
Okay, you were trying to cut me out and censor me.
I was getting an early start on it.
I see. I said all that interesting articulate stuff and it was cut out. Man, there's like 35 gallery openings tonight. You should look at the Paso Tiempo calendar, page 61, for a full list.
Are you going to try to get to all of them?
No, I'm going to try to go to a couple, but probably not all of them. It's impossible. The art scene here is no longer just Canyon Road. There's the First Friday Palace Avenue walk. There's the Delgado Street walk. There's stuff on Baca Street. There's stuff, you know, on Galisteo Street. It's crazy. Warehouse 21 has a show, Gary Myers tribute opening. He's a former high school art teacher, still teaches art, I think, for FACT. Alumni group show, reception 5 to 7 tonight. Gerald Peters Gallery has watercolors and paintings by Woody Gwynn, 5 to 7. Manitou has Fran Larson and Hib Sabin, paintings and sculpture, 5 to 7:30. The Royal Brown Palace. Up on Canyon, Meyer has a one-person show by Carrie Henry, reception 5 to 7. Touching Stone has Japanese persimmon, tan and dye textiles by Masanichi Terada. That's from 5 to 7. They're on Old Santa Fe Trail. It's just a ton of stuff. And Victoria Price has a big show, Recurring Dream. Photos and drawings by Matthew Chase Daniel, and Movement Calls, which is drawings and photographic collages by Mary Risto, reception 5 to 7, and Doug Fairfield, our visual arts writer, did a piece on them, page 28 of today's Paso Tiempo. So there's a ton of stuff.
There's a ton of stuff going on.
What do you go see? How do you pick them all?
I don't know how you pick. Maybe you wiggle your finger around or throw some dice or something.
Maybe you go over to Second Street Brewery about 5:30.
That sounds like an excellent plan.
You get some of the IPA on draft, you order some fish and chips, and then you... Santa Fe Opera backstage tours are starting up 9 o'clock every morning, Santa Fe Opera. Very inexpensive to get in. If you're under 18, it's free.
I love this. One of the most astonishing moments of my life was after I had moved back to Santa Fe and got to do this backstage tour of the opera. It's another world.
It is
completely amazing. They've got this costume shop, these prop rooms.
It's terrific. You kind of want to get off from the group and hide back there.
Totally.
And try out the costumes.
You believe you could live in there.
I know.
You could somehow stay away from people. They'd never find you.
Right, if Domino's would deliver the pizza.
It's a long way. I think it's an extra delivery charge to go out to the opera.
Man, I used to be a delivery person for Domino's in Tucson when you had 30 minutes to get it to them or they got it free.
I don't think they do that anymore. Too many lawsuits.
No, it was crazy. Charisma Dance Company and Dance for Joy team up for Kaleidoscope, a show tonight at 7 o'clock at the James A. Little Theater. New Mexico School for the Deaf, 982-9277. Art Empire's final weekend of King Lear with Paul Walski as King Lear, 8 o'clock tonight, Saturday, matinee on Sunday.
Did you go see that?
I haven't seen it yet, have you?
I haven't, but I keep hearing these spectacular things about it.
I've heard mostly good things
as well.
I've
got to get by and check
sign.
It out.
And there's also Linda Rainey with an organ recital tonight, 5:30 to 6. I guess it's short, half hour long. First Presbyterian Church on Grand Avenue, donations accepted.
She plays really fast. She's got a lot of music to get in there in half an hour.
Yeah, she's doing Bach, Sowerby, Hyde, some guy named Bieri, B-I-E-L-Y.
I don't know him personally, but he sounds like a nice guy.
What kind of comment is that? That's like a Robert Knott comment. What have we heard from Mary Charlotte? Anything?
I did. I heard from her in Bali. She sounds like she's having a great time. She's learning to do a whole variety of things that have complicated names, none of which I can remember. But I'm sure she'll tell us all about it when she gets back.
Excellent.
It sounds lovely. I hope folks will come out to the animal shelter. We're having a little event this weekend. We're doing our annual Motoring for Mutts food drive, a little car show at the shelter.
Oh, doggies are in like little kitty cars?
Absolutely.
Like in the Little Rascals show?
No, never, never. That's never happened. Although if a dog showed up in a car, I can guarantee you they wouldn't be turned away.
No, but like the little kitty cars. Remember you had foot pedal cars when you were in the 60s?
Oh, yeah.
Some puppies in that with like little...
Then you upgrade to a Shriner mobile.
Yeah, that's fine. If you put them in goggles and a little driving cap like from the 20s.
That's right.
Wouldn't that be good?
That'd be the best.
What's it called?
I'd
the Muttley Motor Car?
Motoring for Mutts, 11 to 1, tomorrow at the shelter.
Are you going to be there?
Absolutely. All I have to do is show up with a little food for our critters who desperately need it.
Hey, when's the next Bark and Ball?
October 10th.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be so much fun.
Oh, boy. Wait a minute. Is that a Saturday?
Probably.
I don't know.
Do I look like I have a calendar in front of me?
Okay. The El Rancho de las Golondrinas Spring Festival. I love this Living History Museum, south of town on Los Pinos Road. Go and visit if you are a visitor. Go and visit if you are a local. Bring the kids.
This is another one of those things. I went for the first time last year to Las Golondrinas, and it's one of those things you hear about all the time. Tourists go. It's unbelievably cool.
It is.
Unbelievably cool.
I go out there about once a year in the summer, and it's just terrific. 10 to 4 Saturday, they're having a children's fair, interactive museum, traditional New Mexico crafts. They usually have music. There's food. There's also a book launch and signing by Carmela Padilla and Jack Parsons for their new book, El Rancho de los Golondrinas, Living History in New Mexico's La Cienega Valley.
You've got a nice trill on your Spanish R's there.
Oh, thanks. Not too bad. 1 to 3 p.m. There is a story by Craig Smith on this book and on Los Golondrinas in Paso Tiempo, page 20.
The Santa Fe River Festival is also coming up, which is interesting because I've been mulling over taking up fishing, which I haven't done probably for 25 years.
Well, that's pretty good. I haven't fished in about 30. I haven't golfed in about 30.
Santa Fe River Festival is this Saturday. Ages 12 and under, 6 a.m. to noon. The festival's 10 to 3 at West of Argus Park. If you've never been, it's a very, very cool family event in our humble little town.
That's pretty cool. On Wednesday night, it's the opening for the 5-day-long Sofa Rest. And this doesn't mean you're going to be laying down on your couch and doing nothing for 5 days. This is the New Mexico Museum of Art and Sofa West opening night preview and reception of Wednesday night. This is 5:30 at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center on Marcy Street. A dinner with the artists follows. You got to pay quite a bit, in my view, for that, but that's for a good cause. 988-1234. See our cover story in today's Paso Tiempo on the various galleries participating, what it means. Starts Wednesday the 10th and runs through next Sunday. I'll give you a phone number. Well, you can call the Lensic, 988-1234. There's also a website, sofaexpo.com. But mostly you should see the stories in Paso Tiempo.
What do you know about this, Even If Mountains Burn? That looks kind of interesting to me. James Cosquinas, one-man play set in South Vietnam, 8 p.m. Rail Yard Performance Center. At 1611 Paseo. You can make reservations at 603-1259. Have you heard anything about it?
Saturday night.
Is it Saturday night? No, I think it's tonight.
You're correct. It's both nights. There was a piece on it in our neighbor section that Anna Trujillo did. Nice piece. He's a local Vietnam vet, and he was working, I think, with Tanya Taylor Rubinstein to develop it and direct it.
I think one-person shows are always fascinating.
They're usually always fascinating. If they're not, then they're like the worst way to spend 90 minutes. But I haven't seen this one. I'm not commenting on this one, so I don't know about this one in particular.
We're going to hope for the best.
Well, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. It's at the rail yard. Here's the phone number again, 603-1259.
You know what I'm freakishly excited about is Laurie Anderson on Monday at the Lensic. The Lensic, since this thing has reopened several years ago, we have had some just amazing people come through, and there's a monumental personality. Are you going to go see Laurie Anderson?
I thought you were talking about the Lensic having a monumental personality.
Oh, it does indeed.
Laurie Anderson, terrific, yes.
So excited. 7:30 on Monday at the Lensic.
And a good piece on her in today's Pasa by Robert Benziker. Call 988-1234. Meanwhile, let's say you want a more erudite approach to life.
As I do.
You look like a more of an Aphrodite, the way your hair looks. On Tuesday, Brain Power and Brown Bag Lecture Series has The Sister Danger, How the Dixon, New Mexico Case Shaped American Conversations About Church and State Separation by Katie Holscher, who's from Villanova University. These are short lectures, noon to 12:45. About 40 people can fit in there. Get there early. Bring your lunch if you want to eat. Fray Angelico Chavez History Library, 120 Washington Avenue, 476-5090, free.
And they brought this speaker in from Villanova.
That's correct.
No small shakes there.
But I didn't know anything about the Dixon, New Mexico case.
I don't either. It's fascinating to me that our tiny little neighbor up the road was a precedent-setting place.
That's a nice little town.
It is nice. Good apples.
The same day, David Barsamian, you know her, him, the founder of the Alternative Radio Show.
Indeed, I do.
6 o'clock Tuesday, talking about the war expands, Obama, Afghanistan, Pakistan. 6 p.m. at CCA, 1050 Old Pecos Trail. Got to pay to get in. Request a donation. Call 982-1338. On Thursday, Rick Collignon speaks and discusses Madewell Brown.
I'll bet you that's Collignon, but I don't know that
for
sure.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I can tell now. My apologies. I'm great with Spanish, but not with French.
I'm great with neither.
Well, I can kiss in French. 7 o'clock Thursday, Community Room, Santa Fe Public Library, Main Branch, 145 Washington. Go and hear him. Collected Works still closed as they remodel and remove. I walked by their new space down there on Water in Galisteo. Looks kind of neat. It's not open yet. But there's always things to do at bookstores, and you should always look for book signings, etc. What's happening?
Speaking of book signings, I'm very excited. Wednesday, coming up on Wednesday, is Eduardo Galeano with my beloved Michael Silverblatt of Bookworm at the Lensic, part of the Landon Readings and Conversations program. If you've never been exposed to Galeano, you got to check this out. I bet dollars to donuts it's sold out. But you can find out for sure by calling the Lensic. And it's worth pushing people out of the way and stealing their tickets to get in.
Is Galeano's that what you did to amazing. Me last time?
Look,
it wasn't Galeano, but it was
all I'm going to say is it was just a guy in a hood. I can't say it was me or not.
It is the last Lannan event of this season, and Barbara Ferrer wrote a review of Galeano's book, a really nice review.
And he's there with Michael Silverblatt, who's just about the best, one of the best radio personalities on the planet.
Great moderator, great journalist, great interviewer, so go. 7 o'clock Wednesday night. Now, what if you want to do something goofy?
I often do.
You often do.
There are those who would say that my lifestyle is something goofy and silly.
On Sunday, it's the 20th anniversary of the Children's Museum. Yay, yay. Noon to 5, 1050 Old Pecos Trail. New Mexico residents, you can get in really cheap. Okay, we can't name prices on your community radio station, KSFR. But less than five fingers means less than $5, and you can get in for less than that. Otherwise, you got to pay more. But there's a mixed media on it in today's PASA. Look at page 13, you'll get the details. Call 989-8359. They're going to have a hayride, art projects, games, musical guests, cupcakes to frost and decorate instead of a cake. I like cupcakes.
Absolutely. Cupcakes.
They're your own.
And they're like tiny little cakes. You can have several cupcakes and of different flavors and different frostings. Just feel fantastic.
I can't stand going to a birthday party for some little kid and hear his bratty sisters and bratty guests takes their time blowing out the damn candles and they spit all over it. Like, I never want to eat that stuff, but a cupcake they can't get their hands
That's
on.
That's right. They blow their one candle out on the cupcake. You just take six or seven, grab them, lock yourself in the bathroom and chow down and sneak out the window.
And if they're really bratty and mom or dad's not looking, you smush the cupcake right in the...
And as they cry, you can make your escape.
Exactly.
You know, I grew up in a little farm town south of Albuquerque. We didn't have anything like the Children's Museum there. I envy these little kids when I see this picture in the Pasa Tiempo of these little kids having fun. All we had were rocks and sticks to play with.
What, you're griping now because you had to walk to school through bare feet and all that?
Uphill, both ways, in the snow.
Come on. It's
starting to sound like my dad now.
South
Good
of Albuquerque.
Lord.
When does it snow there? I loved growing up in a time when you can go in the woods and the ticks and fleas wouldn't get you. Nobody was going to kidnap you. You could play in the swamp.
It's a different time.
I mean, it's a totally different
Did
time.
Did you really play in a swamp?
We had a little swamp area near our house, and I also had...
I think your parents just left the hose on in the yard.
To see that was a swamp, too. We had a graveyard up the hill. We would shovel out paths to go sleigh riding in a graveyard.
That's kind of spectacular.
At night, it was great with flashlights.
I hope you'll novelize that someday.
Great. And then we would go out on the pond and would just skate out on the pond. And the fun. You never thought you were going to die. The boogeyman was going to get you.
I think that your memoir will be called Tales of Swamps and Graveyards, the Robert Knott story.
No, my memoir is going to be called What Happened?
It will be one page with a giant question mark on it.
Doug Fairfield reviewed the New Mexico History Museum at 120 Lincoln Avenue. It's open, and now the crowds may be a little bit dying down, weeding out. So swing on by there. It's a nice, well-written review. Have you been there yet?
I have not.
No. Okay, I went before they opened. I'm going to go again. And again, there's a list of schedule of SOFA West related events in Paso Tiempo today. Paul Weideman put that together, page 388.
I'm into this. I'm going to check it out, I think, this whole new Lincoln Avenue thing, the galleries at Lincoln Avenue, First Friday's Art Walk, 5 to 7:30. No, this Lincoln Avenue, you know, where the the Gala Arts District.
Right, that's where Alan Hauser is in Blue
it's
Rain.
Like 8 or 9 community different galleries Evo. And artists to
there. Yeah, excellent. Lincoln, there's my dentist. She's got an ad in the pasta. I got to call her up. My part of my inlay fell out last night. I was eating corn on the cob.
In fact, it's fallen out. It's on the table in front of you again. I'd really like it if you picked that up.
I will pick that up. See my big picture column if you want to know what's happening with the Jean Cocteau and the various independent film organizations that seem to be moving around town, the Screen, the Film Center. Also an update on the great lecture a couple of Saturdays ago that Jason Silverman curated with some native filmmakers. And up in Los Alamos, if you want to drive up and see the 1952 thriller Atomic City, it's free. I mentioned that in my column. That's at 6:30 Thursday. It is a fun little movie shot somewhat in New Mexico. There's a great couple-minute scene where a character's outside St. Francis Cathedral and a phone booth that's across the street to where now the La Fonda parking is. But the La Fonda wasn't there. It's fascinating
to
see.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it looks great.
1952 thriller. You failed to mention it. It's 50-plus years old. Hard to believe Santa Fe's been around that long.
What are you talking about? We're going on the beginning of the 400 years. Nobody can figure out when it started.
Okay, I've only been here 10 years. That doesn't count.
Hey, did Ponce de Leon have something to do with this place?
You have two history buffs at the table here.
Okay. Local movies opening, My Life in Ruins with Nia Vardalos of my big fat Greek wedding coming back as a tour guide in Greece. I lived there for 2 years, so I love those kind of pictures. The Hangover is a comedy, supposed to be pretty funny, by Todd Phillips. Land of the Lost, remember that TV show in the 70s?
Vividly, it was spectacular.
The family goes
it was
back
going
in time,
off just as I was coming up.
And they were living in the caves and the dinosaurs attacked them.
And it was corny as hell and spectacular.
And both. It's playing at Regal 14 with Will Ferrell.
I had nightmares about those fuzzy little creatures that lived, I don't even remember what they were called, but I had these terrible nightmares that I turned into one or that one became my friend and started eating me. It was terrifying.
I had like 4 or 5 nightmares as a kid and they still haunt me.
It's stuff that freaks you out as a kid sticks with you forever.
It does.
Forever.
We should share nightmare stories one of these days.
We'll have a special episode.
And I don't have too many erotic dreams, oddly enough, for a guy like me. He's very sensual.
That surprises me.
And they're always involving women I never expected I'd be involved with.
It's because you spend so much time doing it when you're awake. There's no room left when you're sleeping.
Sam Raimi's got to drag me to... I'd never get away with this with Mary Charlotte, you know that. I'd be stopped dead. She'd be like, stop looking at the ads in Paso, the lingerie ads.
She'd give you the
like
frowny
that.
Face from across the table.
I know.
I like Red Thread Collective. I see they're doing something, a reading revival of
Next
The
weekend.
Fire and the Rose.
Yeah.
June 12th and 13th, 8 p.m. at El Museo Cultural.
Correct.
That looks spectacular. A compilation of prose and poetry created in 2002. I suspect it's only gotten better with age.
I've got one more movie to mention because I told him I would. The Santa Fe premiere of the documentary film The Money Fix.
What is that about?
June 11th, 6 o'clock, Santa Fe Complex. Alan Rosenblith put together a piece that he describes as examining economic patterning in both the human and natural worlds, and we can learn how we can empower ourselves by redesigning the lifeblood of the economy at the community level. So this is, again, 6 o'clock, June 11th, presented by Santa Fe Alliance, a very small donation to get in at Santa Fe Complex on Agua Fria Street. You got to RSVP via an email, admin@santafealliance.com. Call Santa Fe Alliance for information. Good press release except no phone number for Santa Fe Alliance and Mary Charlotte. And we talk about that a lot.
Tisk,
and
tisk, tisk.
Journalist. Get that stuff down, guys. Yeah,
absolutely. So your last chance to check out the 2009 Santa Fe Botanical Garden Tours. This Sunday, 1 to 4. You can get tickets through the Lindsay Fox office, 988-1234. This year's tour is you can see a whole bunch of gardens in historic Santa Fe neighborhoods and peep in the windows, see if there's anything you want to come by later and steal. KSFR doesn't really endorse that.
I guess not. I don't think they'd like the peeking in windows stuff, something that I like to
do. Oh, who doesn't like peeking in windows?
Oh, I got to tell you a story a friend of mine told me about walking by downtown by this St. Francis Hotel, looking up on a hot summer night around midnight, and there's a beautiful blonde just standing there in the window with, you know,
This thing is, those sort of things are supposed to only happen in New York and in big cities.
They happen here.
We get them occasionally here, friends.
Michael Abatamarco, freelancer for The Posse, wrote a nice piece on Rita Bard's show. You could call it Found Objects, but read his piece. Strange Booty opens 6 o'clock tonight at the Spectre Rips Project Space, CCA, 1050 El Pecos Trail. Nice little piece with some nice little art. Say what time it is.
The time, at the sound of the tone, will be 8:49.
Ding, dong, boop. Ding. That's good. We're doing great.
We are doing great.
We can get out of here by 10:54 and buy me a cup of coffee.
Absolutely.
What else? Are you going to do anything animal-related besides be at the shelter?
You know, we had all these, I'm sure folks knew about this, but we had all these Jack Russells come in from a hoarding case on Monday. We're still busy cleaning them up and getting them ready for adoption. Okay. They're really lovely and sweet.
Okay, music. Friday night, what do you do? Da-da-da. At the Aztec Cafe, DJs Melanie Moore, Miss Ginger, and others. House music and techno, 6 to midnight, small cover. Cafe Dominic, Jerry Carthy, oh, Johnny Boy, 6 to 9 o'clock, no cover.
Cheese you know, I remember when Jerry used to play at Wild Oats from time to time. This is one of those moments where I'd wander in, and he was playing in the grocery store, and I'd feel like, I love this town. This is the weirdest town, but I love it. It's fantastic to be here.
I remember almost 20 years ago when he played at the Legal Tender in Lamy, which is now not the Legal Tender.
Jerry, thanks for sticking around. We appreciate you.
Cheese Bud, El Mason has 3 Faces of Jazz, 8 o'clock. Corazon has the Hoodoos, great rock and blues, good dance stuff, 9 o'clock, small cover. El Farol has Savor, Cuban music, 9:30, cover charge. La Fiesta has Night Train, blues, 8 to 11, good band to dance to. Again, I like that place. I actually like La Fonda Bar. It still has that old style. I like the bands they bring in. I like the cheesy art. I like the waitresses that have been there since 54. But small dance floor. You can't do much about it. I don't think they can expand. Small dance floor.
Small dance floors give me an excuse not to dance, which I am always looking for.
I love to dance. My sister told me she taught me how to dance. She said a great way to attract women to yourself.
That's what I've always heard, that men who are willing to dance will have a much easier time finding dates.
I have no idea. If you can take a woman out on the dance floor, you can take her. There's a woman looking at me here now, smiling and making me blush. She's listening in on the conversation. You can get her to laugh, and then if you can get her to laugh, you can get her to do her homework, yes? So there's a woman over here to our right agreeing with me for once, which is very odd. But yeah, it's fun to dance, and that's why the La Fonda is a great place to dance, but I do wish that dance floor was bigger. Belly dancing with DJs and live music down at the Mineshaft Tavern in Madrid, 7 p.m.
And everything that happens at the Mineshaft is interesting.
It is. It's just tough to go down there if you want to have a couple drinks.
Absolutely. Often unplanned, but always interesting.
Okay, at the Silver Starlight Lounge tonight, 7 to 9, they have lesbian speed dating with Linda Kay, followed by a drag review with Richard Peters and Kenny Brown at 8:30. You got to pay for both of them. Have you ever done speed dating of any kind?
I never have, but it's fascinating.
How do you know that?
Because I've seen it on television, and it looks interesting.
Oh, yeah, that's fascinating, because you watch some TV show?
I don't think I could do speed dating. I think I would just be terrified. I mean,
You get like 3 minutes to...
To sell yourself? I don't make a great first impression. I make an excellent fourth impression. I'm a get to know me kind of guy. So speed dating seems like it would completely undermine all of my dating possibilities. Which, dear, let me say, I'm not looking for any dates in case she's listening. But I don't know, speed dating, and I can see the attraction. Like, it's an immediate evaluation because you go out on a date, often within 5 minutes, you know that you prefer to be somewhere else, and speed dating gives you the excuse to be somewhere else. But also, I'm not a good salesperson. I never have been. Certainly not for myself.
I mean, you got to get to know somebody over time. The first date doesn't have to be anything. It doesn't even have to be a kiss. But if the first impression is what matters, I'm going to do my first impression of Dean Martin. Whistle a tune of gladness. Then, you know, you turn on a girl. She likes Dean Martin. See, well, now I just turned this one off. But anyway, so.
I'm more a Steve Martin than a Dean Martin, and not even that good at the banjo.
That's why the first impression doesn't work. All right. This is good to have this chat with you.
It is.
We must do this more often.
That's right. Probably Santa Fe would prefer we do it off the air, but what can I say?
All right. Let's say that it's Saturday night and you want to hear some music.
I do.
Bermudas at Amavi, 7:30. The Bullring has Robert Sequoia doing Spanish and classical guitar. Bumblebees has John Trentacosta and Friends at 6, small cover.
Every time you say small cover, I think of a tiny shirt.
It's less than 5 is what I'm saying. You're not supposed to say the prices here. To me, it's if you can get in for under 5 or 5 fingers, not money. I'm not mentioning money.
That's very reasonable.
Pranzo Italian Grill has David Geist, piano show tune, 6 o'clock. We're talking Saturday night, small cover. And Tiny's has Showcase Karaoke with Cindy and Nancy, 8:30, no cover. And finally, Vanessa has Charles Tischner on piano, 7 to 11, Saturday, no cover. Have you done the Geeks Who Drink thing yet?
Never. I am a geek, and I do drink, but I've never done them in conjunction.
Catamount, 8 o'clock, pub trivia contest, no cover.
Oh, really?
I understand they're going to start on Corazon. Yeah, some of the people from the New Mexican, we're going to go one Wednesday night.
I can never get my sweetheart to play trivia games with me. She refuses, and it exasperates me because I love trivia. A trivial lifestyle.
I came over to your house one day, and you were having one of those games going with, like, four people. I don't even know how I got in your house, but you have, like, one of those houses that's wide open. Hey, Charlie, come on in.
I remember that. I had to call the police to get you to leave.
Oh, stop. You had Jim Turr there, and Jim's...
Beth and Jim and a veterinarian, Catherine Saylor. That was Scrabble.
Right.
That wasn't trivia. I can't get people to play trivia with me. And I'm not even particularly good. I think glasses make people think I'm smart, which indeed I'm not that smart.
This is why I wear
just
mine.
Love trivia.
And then they hear me on the radio, and they decide they want nothing to
absolutely.
Do with me.
Absolutely.
That was Scrabble,
then
huh?
They learn better, yeah.
What was I doing in your house that night?
I don't know.
Why were you all nude?
I really can't talk about that on the air. You know, I'm into seeing this Molière Imaginary Invalid theater work is doing satire of the medical profession.
On the 19th.
Yes, that looks interesting. Theater work pops up with some spectacular stuff from time to time.
They do, and that's at the James A. Little, I believe.
Plus, it's just fun to say Imaginary Invalid and Molière.
It is. Taos Plaza Live. You want to go up to Taos? Weekly outdoor concert series in celebration of Taos Summer of Love, 6 to 8 o'clock, Thursday. It's free if you want to hit Dallas. The music of the bandstand down here starts July 6th, the Monday following July 4th. We'll keep you posted of that. It's a great series. I'm going to go down there and do some dancing.
A cool benefit for Heart and Soul Animal Sanctuary, the Empty Bowl, a live auction of hand-painted pet bowls by artists and celebrities. There'll be cocktails, food, a fashion show. It's a bit away, July 19th from 6 to 10 p.m. at Milagro 139 West San Francisco. If you are interested in tickets, 983-7125.
And the museum, Sunday free for New Mexico residents. Museum of International Folk Art. I'm talking Camino Lejo.
I love Free Museum Day. It's the best. Whatever city I'm in, Free Museum Day is what I'll stick around for.
Mostly, though, in the winter, and it's tougher to go. It's like a matinee. It's on a really nice summer day. It's tough to go in on a...
Yeah, it is.
But if you want to go up to the Museum of International Folk Art, they have Writing with Thread, Traditional Textiles of Southwest Chinese Minorities. They still have Dancing Shadows, Epic Tales, the Wayang Kulit of Indonesia, Shadow Puppets. They have Nuevo Mexico, El Corazón de la Cultura, hands-on exhibit of Hispano-Latino arts. And they still have Multiple Visions, a Common Bond, which is pieces from the Alexander Girard collection. It's a great museum, Museum of International Folk Art, 476-1200. If you're going to go up there anyway, you also have the option of the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture, several exhibits there, including Native American picture books of change. And you have the New Mexico Museum of Art downtown that has American Impressionism, paintings from the Phillips Collection, which opens tonight through September 13th. No charge during opening reception. They also have Sunday Adventures in Outdoor Painting. Experience Santa Fe in plain air. A painting class with Lee Ramos Sunday. You got to pay in advance. I've always wanted to paint plain air, haven't you?
No, I've always wanted to have a collection, though. That's from the Phillips Collection. I always wished I was the kind of guy who had a Hutchison collection that I could leave to people after I perish, which frankly might be this afternoon. You never know.
I've seen your collection. Don't die so soon. It's odd because on page 65 of PASA, tying in with this, is Gifford Beale's painting On the Hudson at Newburgh, 1918. And I grew up in Newburgh. That's my town.
Did you really?
Yep.
That's lovely.
Great seeing you.
Great seeing you, too. Everybody, don't forget to come out to Motoring for Mutts at the Animal Shelter.
Ooh,
forgive me for
driving.
Hustling my own organization.
Ruff.
11 to 1 at the shelter tomorrow.
Beep, beep.
Check out the cool cars. Bring some food for the many, 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 many hungry animals that we have there.
We need help.
We need help. Robert, thank you very much for joining me, filling in for Mary Charlotte,
I'm
speaking of the arts on
we
the Radio Cafe.
Again?
I hope they let us come back next Friday. I'm having a blast.
Oh, good. Okay. Then
all
what
right.
happens?
Then we go back to Mary Charlotte, and she tells us all the things we did wrong.
Uh-oh.
All right, back in the studio. Over to you. Thank you.
I'm Mary Charlotte, host of the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
And I'm Desiree Mays.
And we're teaming up once again for our annual series All About Opera on Mondays in June following the BBC News at 8 in the morning.
Listen in to a discussion of the stories and hear music from the five operas of the Santa Fe Opera season with behind-the-scenes chat and talk about what is opera anyway.
That's all on Monday mornings in June right after the 8 o'clock news on 101.1 FM KSFR, Santa Fe Public Radio.